اللهم لك الحمد لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه لك الحمد من السماوات ومن الأرض ومن لما شئت من شيء بعد اللهم اجعلنا شاكرين لنعمك قابليها وأتمها علينا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بين يدي الساعة بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا اللهم صل وسلم عليه وصل على آله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم أما بعد عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله فإنه سبحانه وتعالى يقول واتقوا لي يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون. My dear brothers and sisters, before I proceed, I praise Almighty Allah. I praise the one who has created the heavens and the earth and who continues to sustain all of us and all of his creation through his mercy and love. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire each and every one of us to be ever grateful to his blessings, to be inspired to celebrate his remembrance, and to remain conscious of his watchfulness, his presence around us, and his witnessing of everything that we do. Allah is Raqib, Allah is Shahid, Allah is Hadir. Allah is ever present, Allah is ever watching, Allah is ever witnessing. If we have this concept alive in our consciousness, surely we can save ourselves from all of those temptations, all of those trials and tribulations engulfing us from our sides. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us by instilling in us this constant watchfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator and sustainer of the worlds, the all compassionate, the all merciful, who has all the attributes of beauty and perfection. So be inspired to call upon the Lord by invoking his beautiful names and attributes. Al-Asma'ul Husna. Surely he has promised to answer us if we do so. I bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. He is above all the messenger of mercy. He has come not to create bloodshed and divide humanity into warring camps, rather to unite humanity back to Adam alayhi salam. This is the message of Hajj. Back to Adam. Back to Adamic roots. O mankind, we created you from a single male and female and rendered you into nations and tribes in order for you to get to know one another, not to wage wars. So let's be reminded of this central concept of Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor me and you to invoke the benedictions on the messenger of mercy. Sallu alayhi. Make salawat on the messenger of mercy. By doing so, we come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are affirming this benefactor of humanity, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, my dear brothers, I promise to take you to the basics of this faith, and there is a need for us to re-educate ourselves, and this can only be done by going back to the sources. So I continue my reflections on Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. Today I choose the hadith number 6, Al-Hadith al-Sadis. It's a beautiful hadith. I'm going to recite it in Arabic and then try to explain something. The time is short. I would prefer that you join us in the courses we had here, and we will continue to run it again, inshallah, explaining this beautiful collection, which is one of the essential source books. Essential source books for Islamic education. And Abi Abdullah al-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhuma, on the authority of Abu Abdullah al-Nu'man ibn Bashir. This is a companion, his father and mother. Both of them were companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is, the narrator is al-Nu'man ibn Bashir. His kunya is Abu Abdullah. This boy was born 14 months after the hijrah of the Prophet to Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet of Allah died, he was hardly 8 years old. And yet imagine this boy of 7 or 8 narrated 116 traditions from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many? 116 traditions this boy narrated. He retained them and he narrated them once he attained puberty, adulthood, became an adult. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to preserve the sources of this religion. So be confident, be proud of belonging to this religion whose sources have been preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this boy was the first of the Ansar children to be born after the Hijrah. أول مولود للأنصار في المدينة بعد الهجرة. He is the first child to be born to Ansar after the migration of the Prophet to Medina. And when he was born, his mother brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for tahniq. Tahniq is to feed, the first feeding. So they wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bless this child. Look at the inspiration. Look at the mindset of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet took a piece of date and chewed on it and then fed the baby a little bit of that and he sucked on it. Of course, he became a blessed child. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with him and his father and mother. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire me and you and our children to follow the footsteps of these great ones. A child learning from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and narrating traditions that are fundamental. So the hadith is, this is number 6 in the collection of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, 40 hadith. Samiutu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. Nu'man ibn Bashir says, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, Inna al-halala bayyinum wa inna al-harama bayyin wa bayyinuhuma mushtabihat. Halal is clear and haram is clear. But then there are doubtful cases in between them. Certain things fall in the category of doubtful, dubious. فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَى لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. Whoever keeps away from the doubtful, he is unable to preserve his God, his honor, faith and honor. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ بِالشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَافِ فِي الْحَرَامِ. But if somebody commits that which is doubtful and dubious, he may end up falling into haram. كَالرَّعِي يَرَى حَوْلَ الْإِمَا. Like a shepherd who is taking his cattle to graze, to pasture around the protected sanctuary. What happens if he goes close to that sanctuary, his cattle may end up trespassing and eating of grass from the forbidden territory, sanctuary. Umum waqaf shubhat. Likewise, whoever commits the doubtful, he may end up doing that which is haram. Ala wa inna li kulli malikin himan. Remember, every king has a sanctuary. And the sanctuary of Allah are the things that he has forbidden. Allah inna fil jasadi mudghatan
Verily, in the heart, in the body of human being, there is a flesh, piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسْدُ كُلُّهُ. If this is sound, the body becomes sound. If it is not sound, if it is unhealthy, the whole person becomes corrupt and unhealthy. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. This is the spiritual heart. So the Prophet ﷺ is, according to Imam Ahmad, there are three fundamental traditions. All of Islam revolve around them, all of the teachings of Islam. Number one, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are judged by intentions. This is the first, most fundamental tradition in Islam. Because everything that you do as an act of worship, as a devotional act, it requires niyyah, purity of intention. I must ask, why am I doing it? Am I doing it? The reward will be based on the intention. If I do it for the sake of Allah, Allah will reward me. If it is for any ulterior motive, because people are looking for worldly gain, I don't have a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, Imam Ahmad says, the second foremost tradition around which all of the teachings of Islam revolve is, مَنْ حَدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَ هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدَّ. Whoever innovates something in this religion of ours, that which is not sanctioned therein, it must be rejected. Today, Muslims innovate in religion without sanction of the revelation in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all innovations in worship must be shunned. Not so innovations in customs. Customs, you are free to innovate as long as it does not contradict any of the fundamental principles, as long as it's not destructive for human welfare, as long as it is not harmful, we are free to innovate. Customs, but acts of worship, we cannot. And then Imam Ahmad says, the third fundamental hadith is this hadith. And it is talking about four main points. Number one, halal, haram, and shubhat. And then the importance of keeping away from shubhat and preserving the purity of the heart. It's really a beautiful tradition and worthy of repeated reflection. Number one, the Prophet says, Al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyin. Halal is clear and haram is clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِلَّ قَوْمًا بَعْدَ إِذْ غَدَاهُمْ حَتَّى يُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ مَا يَتَّقُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. It's not befitting Allah, His glory and majesty, to misguide a people after they have been guided to the straight path, hatta yubayyana lahum, until He explains to them, expounds to them that which they should keep away from, they should be mindful of. Inna Allah bi kulli shayin alim. Verily Allah is knowing, all knowing. He knows everything. So, وَمَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْقِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we did not miss anything in this book that is worthy of knowledge for guidance of humanity. Even as Allah has guided us to take care of our material welfare, He has guided us to take care of our moral and spiritual health. So, halal is clear. The concept of halal in Islam, we need to understand, Allah says, Allah has permitted that which is pure. The problem with Muslims today, as soon as halal is mentioned, mind goes to halal ghost, meat. No, this is a very, very distorted concept. Halal is that which is lawful, not just halal ghost. Halal meat is all that is purely ethical, conforms to the standards of the Sharia. So Allah has permitted that which is good and wholesome. The messenger of mercy is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, permitting for them all that is good, wholesome and pure. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهُمُ الْخَبَائِثِ, and forbidding that which is impure, filthy, harmful. And the scholars say, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ حَلَالٌ إِلَّا مَحَرَّمُهُ اللَّهُ. You know, original rule is, everything is permitted unless Allah has declared it haram. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything on the face of the earth for human beings to make use of it. Of course, it is governed by the guidelines. There is no concept of conquest of nature in Islam. We have to use nature and use it according to the guidance, the light of the revelation. Okay, so the concept that which is haram because it is harmful. Al-haram yatba'u al-darar. You know, that which is harmful is haram. So smoking is haram because it is proven to be harmful. Anything like that, intoxicant haram because it's harmful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed laws for the welfare of humanity. قَوَاعِدُ الْأَحْكَامِ فِي مَصَالِحِ الْأَنَامِ. Our great scholars have made this theory, legal theory, that everything in the Sharia is to protect and safeguard the interest and welfare and the felicity of human beings in an ultimate sense, in this world and the next world. So nothing in Sharia that is permissible for us, that is haram for us, if it is good for us. So everything Allah has forbidden, there is harm in it. It's filthy, it's unwholesome, it is not befitting human being. Then after having said that, Rasulullah says, then there are some doubtful cases. How things become doubtful? Because there could be a case where there are two things. There is some benefit in it and harm in it. So there is an evidence for haram and evidence for halal. So there is a confusion there. Then judgment has to be made by a scholar who is competent to pronounce a ruling on that, because you cannot simply do that. There are, Imam Ibn al-Munzir rahimahullah says that halal, that which is clear, nobody can declare it a haram. Suppose something was halal, and then the doubt crept into your mind whether it stays halal, then you don't care about that doubt. You should dismiss that doubt until it's clearly proven to you that something has happened to make it haram. The same way, something was haram, the doubt crept into your mind whether it still remains halal, haram, then you assume that it is haram until it has been proven otherwise. Because al-yaqinu la yuzalu bishak. Just like somebody saying, I doubt whether I have divorced my wife. I doubt I have wudu. Did you have wudu? If you had wudu, then you assume that you are in wudu until you are certain you broke your wudu. Were you married in the first place? If you were, then the judgment is you are still married until the proof is established that you have broken that marriage. You own a property and the doubt, and you have that proof. Then somebody says it has been transferred. That's, he claims that property. Of course, the judgment in the Sharia court is, yes, it was yours, you have the documentation, and you need to produce the proof to show that this property has been transferred to somebody else. You see, so these are, and then of course there are whisperings of the devil. Some people use the excuse, look, I cannot go to the masjid. Because whenever they meet in the masjid, they engage in backbiting. So let me pray in the masjid, in at home. This is pure whispering of the dove, of the devil. Somebody saying, I don't want to get married because today the children are corrupt. Of course, this is not allowed in Islam. No. He cannot say, I cannot be mixing with the crowd, people. I want to retire to a mountain or a cave, because when we interact, people start doing this, doing that, and making gossip and things like that. No, Sharia does not allow for this. This is all purely haram. Then what is it? Suppose you have some cases where doubtful should be avoided. The Prophet ﷺ said that oftentimes I come home and I happen to find a piece of a date in my bed or somewhere at home. And then I want to pick it up to eat it, and then the question arises in my mind whether it belongs to charity. So I leave it alone. I don't touch it because there is a doubt. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was given a gift by one of his workers. And he ate it, and then this worker told him, look, you know the gift I bought, I practice Hussein, and the man gave me some money, so I use that money to buy you this gift. As soon as Abu Bakr Siddiq heard that, he induced vomiting. He took it out. So you see how we should keep away, because kullu lahmin nabata min suht fanar awla bihi. Every flesh, every body that is nurtured by haram, nobody can say, you know, interest is halal. So if you eat of interest and your body is sustained by it, annar awla bihi. That is fuel for hellfire. Fornication is haram, nobody can declare it halal. Secret marriage is haram. That is, marriage can never remain secret. I cannot say, I married this woman. How often I get this question? Very frequently I get this question online and on my site. You know, you are, this man and I, we got married. He took the book of Allah and said, I marry you in the name of Allah. Of course this is not marriage. أَعْلِنُوا هَذَا nikah. Publicize the marriage. There is no secret marriage. Marriage must fulfill certain requirements because it has element of social contract. It must be witnessed, it must be publicized, so that a distinction is made between a secret affair and marriage. And that's why a person should avoid all the circumstances that may give rise to suspicion. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing by, he was escorting his wife Safiya. It was at night, and he was being watched. Two companions were going, passing away, far away. The Prophet stopped them and said, this is my wife Safiya. The Sahaba said, Subhanallah, how can we doubt you, O Messenger of Allah? He said, I know you will not doubt. Because doubting the Messenger of Allah is what? Kufr. You cannot doubt the Messenger of Mercy. But the Prophet set an example for me and you. You should not do something that give rise to suspicion. So I cannot be isolated with a woman who is not mahram. I am not mahram to her. I cannot. If I do that, I have done that which is shubha. And when you do that, لا يخلون رجل من امرأة إلا كان ثالث الشيطان. No man will be isolated with a woman with whom he is not related in marriage or blood, close blood lineage. The third companion who will be joining them in that isolation will be Shaitan. How often we see people, this is what Rasulullah said, whoever does that which is doubtful, yushiku an yakafil haram, he may end up falling into haram. It doesn't mean every time they isolate, they do that. This is the protection, sanctuary, just like that cattle going around close to that sanctuary. Yushiku an yakafi, he may end up trespassing. So this is a human nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the laws for our own protection. There is no excuse in Islam for Muslims for not knowing that which is halal and that which is haram. But they may have been confused sometimes about shubhat. And shubhat, we should keep away as much as possible. And another rule in Islam is, Rasulullah sallallahu, Imam Ghazali says, this is something that happens all the time. Our youth and children end up watching these movies. If it becomes a habit, this is a minor sin. But constancy in minor sin, if you indulge in minor sin consistently, what will happen? It becomes a kabira, a major sin. Maybe watching once in a while innocent program is fine, but to be always doing this love all the time, day in and day out, you are committing a major sin. And of course, hanging around mujalasatu al-usat ash-shirarun nas, you have to watch your company. You cannot hang around in the doubtful places, near the taverns, and places which are known for the evil company of bad people. These are all shubhat. It may not be clearly haram, but shubhat. And shubhat, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you commit the doubtful, you end up trespassing, falling into that which is haram. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ala inna fil jasadi mudghah." Remember that in the body of human being there is a flesh, a piece of flesh. If it is sound, the whole person becomes sound. If it is corrupt, the whole person becomes corrupt. This is the heart. Rasulullah is talking about the spiritual heart. How do we preserve it? By shunning that which is frivolous, that which is doubtful, and making sure that we do that which is halal, and stay away from everything that is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the leads. There is a concept of saddu zara'i in Islam. That which lead to haram is haram. Kullu ma adda ila al-haram fa huwa haram. That which leads to haram is haram. So you see how, you see, nudity is haram because it leads to zina. Look at the inconsistency of this philosophy here, that nudity is allowed, but adultery is haram. That's not the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-aynu tazni. Eyes commit adultery, ears commit adultery, hand commit adultery, feet commit adultery. Wal-farju yusaddiqu dhalika wa yukadhibu. The private part finally consummates and completes the action, that act. So this, you have to keep guard our eyes, guard our ears, guard our mind, guard our feet, guard our tongue. So otherwise, what will happen? Kullu ma adda ila al-haram fa huwa haram. That which is leads to haram becomes haram. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to guard our heart. And how do we guard our heart? Spirituality. Reminding ourselves of the watchfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you and I must stand before the Lord of the worlds for judgment. Nothing of our heart, our secret, will be done from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our thoughts before it is produced in the heart is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to remember death, to read the Quran, and to always engage in dhikrullah and istighfar. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters who have passed away. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Let us also pray for those who are sick and suffering. Allahumma ya rabban nas adhib al bas ishfi anta ash-shafi. Allahumma ishfihim shifaan tamman la yughadiru saqama. Allahumma ishfihim shifaan tamman la yughadiru saqama. ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا دينا الا قضيته ولا مريضا الا شفيته ولا ميتا الا رحمته ولا حاجه ترضيك الا قضيتها يا ارحم الراحمين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب. اقم الصلاه.